Sorry, that was a trick I learned long ago, that when you make that buzz sound, it just like adds to the effect, you know. Okay, good morning, everybody. It's really brilliant to be here this morning. We haven't been here in a while, and it's great to see new faces. And are you excited to be in the house of God this morning?
Yes.
It's a little bit. Okay, great. We'll work on that. if you're a Manchester City fan, I'm sure you're more excited than most this morning. But that was brilliant. Not for everybody, but okay. I haven't been here in such a long time. Some of you might have heard that my wife and I are expecting a little girl, and it was a struggle for us, and we just want to praise God again. Maybe you haven't heard, but it was a difficult season leading up to that, because the doctors were basically saying that we should consider all kinds of interesting ways of conceiving, because we wouldn't be able to naturally. And but it's amazing, because I still don't have a solution for us, but I don't know, it's pregnant, so it's really amazing, and God is so faithful, and it's going very quickly. So around the end of July somewhere, we will have one other member for the church, and but that's very exciting. And thanks for the prayers and the support. We really appreciate you guys. Okay, let's just pray as we just get into the Word this morning. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that just for your presence in this place, God, that we can come to you boldly, that we can come without fear, Lord, that we can come with an expectation of meeting with you this morning. Father, we thank you for the new and living way that you've made for us through your Son, that we might enter into your holy presence, God, and that we might come with an expectation to meet with the living God, the King of Kings, the Creator of the universe, and to be transformed and to be shaped and to be renewed, Lord. And this morning we come with that expectation. We thank you, Lord, that you're here in your spirit, Lord, and that we can enjoy your presence together as a family, Lord. And we just want to open our hearts this morning. We open our hearts to what you want to do in us, Lord, what you want to do through us. And we ask, Lord, that above everything else, that your name be exalted in this place this morning. That you, the name of the King of Kings, the name of Jesus Christ, be lifted high in this place, in and through our lives, God, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. As many of you know, we've gone through the whole Encounter series. We've looked at what it means to become a family in Christ. We stood still at that. Last week we started with some basics. Basic training was one term we used. And I just want to encourage some of you. I know some of these things we're looking at now seem, specifically last week, maybe not this week, seem like familiar. You've heard them before. You know, that's kind of, some of the we've covered before. But I want to really encourage you to listen a bit differently. Each of us are called to be disciple makers. Isn't that exciting? And I want to really encourage you to listen as if you're going to tell somebody else what you're hearing. Because that's what you're going to have to do. Especially in terms of the basics we're looking at. You know, the moment we listen as though we're going to teach someone else, or we're going to help someone else, or we're going to walk the road with someone else, we listen differently. I don't know about you, but I remember the first time Pastor Sears asked me to teach at the Spiritual Growth Series. I was like, okay, now I need to focus, you know, and make this my own. And before then, you kind of knew roughly what's going on, but now you have to kind of get to grips with what really matters. So I want to really encourage you with that. And this morning, we're looking at some more basics, but we're getting to something that is at the core of what our purpose is on the earth, I believe. And before we get to that, have you experienced in your walk with God? Can we get rid of that now in a moment? Should I step backward? Am I creating feedback? I'll find the right spot. There we go. Is it next door? My goodness. That's not next door. Any case. Okay. Have you experienced that sometimes when we, in our walk with God, we battle to find breakthrough in a certain area? You know, there's sometimes something that really frustrates us. You're kind of struggling to get your mind or your heart around something, and you're working it through with God, and there's just, you know, kind of, it's a bit of a process. And then what sometimes happens is suddenly you see it from a different perspective. And or a scripture that you've read before kind of jumps out at you, and suddenly you see something from a different angle, maybe from God's perspective for the first time, and suddenly something just clicks into place, and it makes more sense. It's happened to me a few times, you know, and then you think, it's like that wow moment. And then there's breakthrough in that area, and it's as if we suddenly manage to kind of access God's grace for that specific thing. And this morning, we're looking at something that we know about and that we've all struggled with, but I'm really trusting God for us to see it from a little bit of a different perspective, and most importantly, for us to really access the grace of God about this area of our walk with Him. Okay, so are you with me with that? Are we putting our faith together for that? I mean, okay. And like I said, this is at the core of our purpose on the earth. So let's read from Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Amen. This is what we like to refer to as the Great Commission. Is the that thing, that charge that Jesus leaves with us before he goes to the Father. Those few minutes, those last minutes on the earth. You know, if you had your last few minutes on earth, I'm sure you'll count your words. Okay, like I'm sure Jesus, this is important. He reckons this is the last thing he leaves with the disciples before he goes to the Father. He says, "Go into all the world," and he leaves us with this incredible charge, this incredible commission. And that's what we're looking at this morning. We're looking at the place of us being disciple makers, partnering with God in the gospel. And that whole process of making disciples starts with the E word. That word that we don't want to hear about. Evangelism, okay. And when we say the E word in church, often, you know, people get uncomfortable, and I preach on that. I see people like, "Oh, I know, feel a bit guilty, you know, because I don't know, I'm not getting it right, and it's one of those things I'm struggling with. I know I should be doing it, but I don't know how, you know." It's one of those, I don't know, I see you guys, I don't have that problem. But often, it's as if we first, sometimes we have misconceptions about it, of what it means. And often it's because we're still learning how to really partner with God and to really tap into His grace for that area. I'm going to really challenge us this morning that somehow we trust God for His grace, for healing and for deliverance and all kinds of other things. But this morning, let's just trust God for His grace to be able to evangelize, if you want to call it that. So that's what we're looking at this morning. Let's look at some misconceptions about evangelism. Unfortunately, there's, like I said, some negative connotations, and often we, because of those misconceptions, we fall under condemnation. You know, there's a little voice that tells you, you're a terrible Christian because you don't minister, you don't share your faith with at least 5 people every day, you know, and you still sleep well at night, kind of thing. Any case, we have got this little voice, you know, the enemy wants to kind of bring us under condemnation. Often we do. We fall under condemnation because of misconceptions and because of the negative connotation. Somehow we feel, "I'm not doing my Christian duty," and it's just downhill from there because I'm never going to get there and I'm not going to get it right. And I'm really trusting this morning that you will tap into His grace. Amen. Okay, firstly, have any of you heard of Reinhard Bonnke? Some. Billy Graham? Yes? No? Yes? Okay, those are two of the most, you know, incredible, powerful evangelists of our age. And what I want to leave with us this morning is that evangelism is not only when we preach to hundreds of thousands of people. In fact, most of the time, you and I, God will be ministering to somebody through us one at a time, or maybe in a small group, most of the time. Okay, so it's not all of us that will stand before, like Reinhard Bonnke, what was it, 1.2 million, no, 1.6 million people in one meeting. Can you imagine that? I can't. But, you know, I was with one of his campaigns, and there were about 200,000 people, and I couldn't even see the end of the crowd. So I don't even know what 1.6 million people looks like. But in any case, so it's not going to happen like that for all of us. Maybe for someone sitting here, it will be through a medium like television where you can reach many more people, even more than that at one time. But okay, you never know what God can do. But for most of us, it will be one person at a time. And just something that I saw when we did spend some time with Reinhard Bonnke is that his passion for people is evidenced, whether it's, Peter and I were at the same campaign together. His passion for people is evidence, whether it will be in the front of 200,000 people or whether it's just with one person that he meets along the way at the hotel or something. And that's the incredible thing, is that heart to minister to someone isn't dependent on the crowd that you're ministering to. Okay, so it's often, well, most of the time for us, it'll be one at a time. Okay, secondly, in terms of misconceptions, it's not always, you know, say if you take our a person's process, the road they take from being as far as possible away from God to receiving God and being born again. Okay, so for instance, let's take that as a timeline or like the alphabet. Okay, say A is atheist or like militant atheist, Satanist type of person. Okay, and then Z, for instance, say Z is the place where you respond to the grace of God and you are born again. Okay, now sometimes we have this impression that to be able to minister to somebody, you must take them from A to Z in one conversation and close the deal, as they say. You know, and then you hear stories like. Sometimes I like to share these stories and that people don't respond very well to them. Like, I've experienced sharing the gospel with somebody on an airplane, and they are born again on the airplane, and then they get filled with the Spirit on the airplane, and I haven't got a right to baptize someone in an airplane yet, but I'm working on that. Well, the one time, I was on a bus trip about an 18, 19-hour bus trip, and the person next to me was born again about 3 hours into the trip. Then, about an hour later, they were filled with Spirit. And then I had taken along some of our spiritual growth series manuals. So we covered most of them in those 18 hours. You know, that's amazing. And then when I tell stories like that, people look at me like, are you from a different planet? Because stuff like that doesn't happen to everyone, okay? So the misconception I'm dealing with here today is that although that is possible, okay, not all of us will always be at the Z part, okay? Not always, all of us will always be involved with that place and time when somebody is ready to actually respond to God. Often we will be on the first bit of the alphabet where it's like you're putting that, what is that? Shovel, not a shovel, but when you break up hard ground, you know, when you have to put in that first, what is that thing that you use with a pick? Pickaxe. That's the one. You know, when the ground is so hard that when you put it in there, it feels like this, into your toes, you know. Sometimes some of us will have that role. Okay, you break up that first hard bit of ground and it feels like there's nothing happening. It feels like you struck solid rock or concrete. Okay. Sometimes we'll be there at the beginning of the alphabet. And if you're there, if God uses you there, don't get discouraged. Okay. So the misconception here is it's not always A to Z, it's not always atheist to born again in one conversation. Okay? Although don't limit God, it can happen. Okay. Okay. All right. So sometimes, yeah, we feel because I'm not getting through to someone. They didn't get saved after the first conversation. Now something wrong with me. I'm not getting it right, and I'm not being an effective Christian. Okay. So most of the time, like I said, that one thing that you do or that one thing that you say will be bring that person one step closer to being in a place where they will accept Christ. And if it's only that one step, praise God for that one step, because you're part of that process of bringing that person one step closer to being open to hear from God and to being able to receive Him. Okay. Okay, so let's look at what does evangelism entail and what does it mean, basically. Just looking at very basic, a few basics this morning. Okay, Colossians chapter 1, if you want to read with me. From verse 24. This is Paul writing to Colossians. He writes, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of His body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. That is the ministry, which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. To them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end, I also labor, striving according to His working, which works in me mightily. It's quite a mouthful. I'm going to just focus on two bits here. Is that firstly, from verse 27, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know, often we think evangelism is this mystical thing, like I said, is reserved for a specific few people, and they just get it right every time, and they just kind of have come with these ridiculous stories of people getting born again everywhere, and we don't even connect with that. But evangelism is not reserved for a select few. Evangelism is basically, it happens when somebody else catches a glimpse of Christ in you, the hope of glory. When something that you do or something that you say, it's something you do, most of the time you don't even know about it, help somebody to see Jesus in you and I. That glimpse of Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's not your performance, it's not how good a Christian you are, it's the fact that Christ is in you and He is the hope of glory. It's not, I'm the great Christian, I read the word 5 hours a day. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is what makes evangelism happen. Evangelism happens when you care for someone. When you help someone in a very practical way, when you serve someone and they catch a glimpse of Christ in you and they see a bit of Christ and they see a bit of Jesus in you and in you and I. Something as simple as helping your elderly neighbor to change a light bulb. Evangelism is happening right there because you're serving someone in the love of Christ. It's like when you And you're kind to your colleague who's being mean to you because they're having a bad day and they don't deserve to be kind. They don't deserve your kindness. You know, it's that place of when we reach out to someone in love and acceptance and grace when they don't deserve it, because we know we don't deserve it either. Okay, it's just those basic things. It starts with those very simple things when we reach out to people around us in love and allow them to see Christ in us. And like I said, it's not preaching at somebody. It's not necessarily sharing with them specifically when you don't know them well, and it's just you starting in a relationship. It often starts with a small gesture or an encouragement or just allowing them to see Christ in you, just loving them in the way that we have been loved. It can take many different forms. It's actually a very natural outflow of our relationship with God. If you think about it, as we get to know God, because that's what we're about. I mean, we want to know God more, and we want to become like Him. And as we get to know God, we see how much He cares, and we experience the love of God. And you and I might be sitting here this morning and be overwhelmed and absolutely, you know, can't even fathom the love of God for us through what we see in the cross and Him reaching out to us. And if we look at what He did to demonstrate His love for us in sending His Son to the cross, in taking our punishment upon Himself, you know, then when we get to know God in that way, we start to care about who He cares for, if you understand what I'm saying. If you really love someone, if you say you're married or you're in a relationship or you even have a good friend, if you really care about that someone, you will care about who they care for. And often, have you experienced when you have your friends with someone and they're friends with someone else, but in a normal circumstance, you wouldn't really be friends with that person. Have you experienced that? And then, but then you tolerate that person because you love this other person. And then you can grow beyond that, where you actually enjoy that person's company, and you can get along with them because you have a common friend. And in our case, the more we get to know Christ, we see and we experience how much He cares about the people around us. And that changes the way we care about them. Are you with me this morning? So it's actually a very natural outflow. And the thing we get stuck is we don't respond to that unction. Because I can tell you now, I look at people differently than before I knew God. I care differently about people. Before I knew God, I couldn't care less. I mean, let them do their own thing. You know? Now, when I see somebody with a need, even a little thing, driving somebody past somebody in a parking lot and they're busy struggling to put something in their boot, I'll just start, I don't know, let me just quickly stop and help them, you know. Just stupid things like that. Simple things. But suddenly Christ in us, the hope of glory, makes that we look at people differently. And when we start to care about people, we care about their needs. We care about where they're at. We care about what is important to them. And the next step is not only their needs, but also their eternal salvation. Then we start to see, oh my goodness, I can help this person change a light bulb, but I know that will help them. That is blessing now, but what about their eternal salvation? What about their life in eternity? And the next kind of step it progresses to is the more we care about people, the more we pray about for them. You agree? If you care for somebody, you pray for them. If you care for, it's a natural thing. When you're looking out for somebody, it will naturally flow into you praying for them. And that's the same with whether it be your neighbor, whether it be a colleague, whether it be somebody you sit next to on a plane or a bus. When we care, we pray. And that's when we access the heart of God for that person. Are you with me this morning? Okay. And in this scripture specifically, we see Paul writing in the second part there, says that he labors. Let's read it quickly. On the last bit there, verse 28. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. Do you see what he's saying there? He's saying that it's not, he's not a great guy, and this is, you know, he's not, it's not dependent upon his performance or his amazing understanding of the word. He says God is working in him mightily, and it's according to that that he is laboring, that he is working. It's according to what God is doing in him that that's kind of, there's an outflow of that that means that he's reaching out to other people. Do you see that? And that's part of that Christ in us that's happening. It's Christ at work in us, and then that kind of just naturally flows out to those two people around us. And the most, and the important thing here is God is at work in us, right? But God is also at work in the person next to you in the bus, in the colleague that you don't get along with at work, or the person in your class. God is at work in their life. And I know some of you are thinking, no, there's this one guy, God is so far, you're so far from God, there's no way. But the amazing thing is, God is loves that person just as much as he loves you and I. And he's at work in their heart and in their life just as much as he is in ours. Whether that person is aware of it is a different story. And whether they want to, him to be at work is a different story. Okay, but God is reaching out to them. And evangelism starts, like I said before, with the little things, but it continues when you've helped your neighbor with the light bulb, and next time you see them, you ask them, but how is that bad back of yours? Because you've remembered something that is important to them that they are struggling with. And then the next step is to offer, but could I pray for you for that bad back? Maybe they've never prayed for in their life before. Maybe that's a completely strange thing. But just you offering prayer tells somebody, I care about you. And whether they're an atheist or somebody of a complete different faith, if they have any clue of what that means, they will appreciate it. And I've very rarely had people say, no, you can't pray for me. It's okay, it has happened, but it's very rare. So that's kind of the next thing, is to say, Lord, give me the boldness that when I see my colleague again, I want to just offer to pray. And they will receive it as an incredible blessing. Whether they believe in prayer or not, what you're doing is you're telling them, I care about you. And most people will just gladly receive that. And again, it goes from that little thing. It goes from that little noticing somebody's need and reaching out to somebody in love and offering to pray. And from there on, it's amazing what God can do in that situation. And we give him that opportunity. Let's continue. Accompanying signs. Mark 16 verse 20. Last week we read the first bit of the scripture. Now we continue at verse 20. Remember last week there was one scripture Franz read a lot. I remember, okay, some of you weren't here. Okay, verse 20, it says, and they went out. This is after basically the Great Commission, just in Mark's words. It says, and they went out and preached everywhere. I love the way the scripture is just everywhere, okay? The Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. It's just like, if it wasn't for this, I don't know, life would look different for me, and at least. Because here it says, they went to preach everywhere, and the Lord was working with them, confirming the word through accompanying signs. Isn't that amazing? To work with God, to have him as your partner, or, you know, maybe the other way around. It's like the elephant and the ant. Have I told you that story? About the elephant and his buddy, the ant, sitting on his shoulder, and they were crossing a bridge. Where I come from, you get these rickety bridges in Africa. And the bridge was shaking under the weight of the elephant and the ant. And it was after they went over, the ant said, listen, yes, buddy, did you see how we made that bridge shake? It's like that with us and God. We make things shake, you know. We say, "Yoch, Lord, did we see that? Did you see that?" In any case, but the amazing thing is, God is ready to perform His word, no matter how small our part in the partnership is. It's very important, okay? And God is ready to perform His word. He's ready to confirm His word through the accompanying signs, and that is something that encourages me no end, because that means when I do have the boldness and God gives me the grace to offer to pray, I know God wants to respond to that prayer. I know it. I've got such a confidence because I know I've tasted a little bit of how badly God wants to reach out to somebody. How great is His love for us. And how great is His love for the people out there. How badly God wants to reach out to that person and wants them to hear of His love for them. And therefore, when somebody says yes to a prayer, I know now it's going to get exciting, because now God steps into the picture, and He can come through for that person. When your neighbor or colleague is ill, don't say, "Oh, that's shame, that's terrible," and then carry on with your day. Okay, when somebody's ill, I know it's bad, but it's an incredible opportunity for them to know God as a healer. When I hear somebody that's ill, I don't get depressed, I get excited. When I hear somebody that needs a job, I don't think I'm ashamed. I'm like, wow, this is an opportunity for them to get to know God as their provider. It's not an opportunity for you to feel sorry. Oh, sorry. Obviously, we do what we can in the natural. Okay, we've dealt with that in terms of being a family and reaching out to those around the family. There's the natural things that we do to serve people around us. But on top of that, we pray and we trust God to that person will know Him as their provider. Okay? There's this incredible, when needs like that come across your path, there's an incredible opportunity for someone to taste and see that God is good. Have you noticed that sometimes people around us taste us? They poke. They say, "Is this for real?" Have you ever experienced taking a beautiful, juicy grape and putting it in your mouth, and then it's olive? Have you had that? It's terrible. It's really bad, because you're expecting this juicy, sweet thing, and then I love olives, don't get me wrong, but if I'm expecting a grape, an olive is just not cool, you know. But sometimes people see something in us, they see catch a glimpse of Christ in you, and then I want to see, is this for real? Is this can it be? Is this love, is it for real? And then they press those buttons. That's why people often irritate us, and you know, they press all the buttons we don't want to be pressed, because they want to taste. They're nibbling. It's like a fish in the water nibbling at the bait. Have you been fishing? When that little line just takes a dip like that, you can't pull it in yet, because it's just taking a nibble. It's just checking, is this for real? And yeah, it's maybe a good analogy, because we're obviously wanting to also get the fish in the boat. Okay, but so we must allow people to taste and see that God is good. And often it is to our discomfort. In other words, it will mean it's irritating and it's uncomfortable for me, because this person keeps on seeing if they can get me upset. Or they keeps on pressing the buttons where they know I'm sensitive about. But please know that there's grace for that, because they want to taste. They want to see if you and I are for real. Are you with me still? So when these things come up, you know, it's an amazing opportunity for somebody to see God, to get to know a part of Him. When a friend of mine, he wasn't unsaved, he was born again. But sometimes we know a lot of people that kind of, they have a kind of a relationship with God, but we don't know exactly where they're at with God. And that's a good place to start, with somebody that is open for the things of God, but you don't know if they're really born again, okay? And this friend of mine, he started his own business. So I thought, this is a great opportunity. So I said to him, listen, we're going to go and we're going to anoint this place, this business property of yours. It was started in a little corner of another shop, a workshop, a little corner, like really small. I said, we're going to anoint, we're going to pray, and we're going to trust God. And you know what? It changed his life. I just thought, okay, Lord, yes, you know, I'm going to trust you now. But we anointed and we prayed and we trust God. And now, I tell you, he can't keep up. He's in the bicycle industry in South Africa. And he has now got the contract of probably the biggest manufacturer of bicycle parts in the world. He's got the contract now for the northern part of South Africa for maintenance. Okay, and he's working from his garage still. In any case, but the Lord is prospering that business. And you know what? His life's changed because every time I speak to him, he refers back to that time. He says, you remember when you and I prayed? And it's changed. Now, same with your neighbor. Just look out. The Lord will show you opportunities for somebody to see something about God, to taste and see that he is good. And the amazing thing is his grace for us to respond to those opportunities. And the pressure is not on you and I, because God is ready to perform his word. Amen. On Thursday, we were at the Psychic Festival in Weybridge. Have you ever been to a psychic festival? I've been twice. This is my second time. And it was absolutely amazing because the Lord is so keen to bless people. He's so keen to get to, you know, reach people. People that come there are looking for answers. In any case, we go there and we pray and we ask just God for opportunities to talk to people and to minister to people. In any case, so this time it was only me and Ignatius, the guy from the Weybridge congregation, and we were walking around praying, doing a bit of spiritual warfare. We'll talk about that another time. But at one stage we spoke to this lady. She wasn't reading anybody's palm or cards or anything or crystal ball, but she was just selling jewelry. She had this little stall there, and I asked her if she made the jewelry. She said, no, she doesn't. She just sells the jewelry. So, but she was like all friendly, and we had a chat. And actually, I'm getting ahead of myself now. But okay, I'll just tell a story now, and then you'll see where it fits in later. Okay. So we just had a chat, and I could ask her. We asked her, so you know, what is your, are you a spiritual person? It actually came about in a very funny way because she asked if we were brothers. Ignatius and I. I decided to take it as a compliment. Okay. In any case. So I said yes. And then later she asked about how did we come. I said yes in a way. And then later she asked, how did we come? Did I follow him? I said no. I said, we're not brothers biologically. We are spiritual brothers. And then she wanted to know about that. And she said, oh, I've got a spiritual sister. And she pointed to somebody busy reading somebody's palm in the back of the corner of the room. And she said, that is my spiritual sister. And then we had an incredible place where we could talk about spiritual things. Obviously, in a place like that, it's easy because it's a lot of spiritual things happening. But it ended up that I could ask her about what is your background in spiritual things. You know, did religion play a part in your upbringing? And then she could talk about that. She could say, oh, no, I grew up in church. I used to go to Sunday school. My parents made me go, etc. And then immediately we get an idea of where she's at. And then we could offer to pray. And it comes up that she needs a job. And I think, wow. Wow, what a great opportunity. And we prayed for her. And I tell you, I'm so confident in God that he will provide for her a job this week in a way that she will know, that she would taste and see that God is good. Such a great opportunity. Okay, let's get a bit practical. Before we do that, I'm just going to end with this bit here. God is ready to perform His word. Okay? His word is not dead. His word is alive. And you and I just deal with the practical, basic things of the word of God. God is ready to perform His word. He's ready to confirm that He is the healer, that He is the provider, that He is the Savior. Okay? He hasn't changed His mind about those things. Know that He has gone before you. He has prepared the ground. Know that He will come behind you. I'll tell you, every time I preach even, I'm so dependent upon that fact, because I just say, okay, Lord, every nonsense that came out of my mouth, let everybody just forget it, and let you just remember what you said. Okay? It's the same when you deal with your colleague. God comes behind you. He will go before you, and He comes behind you, and He was working with them. If you see, they were preaching everywhere, and the Lord working with them. The Lord is working with us. So don't stress about, oh, but did I get it right? Oh, yeah, what was the thing in Bible school? Oh, you know, I can't remember. Christ is working in us. Just let that flow out. Okay? If you don't know the answer, tell them, I don't know. But this is what I've experienced about God. Okay? Okay, getting practical. This morning we're going to look at one or two aspects of how to practically engage with somebody in a conversation. We're going to divide up into groups in just a moment. How's my time, David? Do we need... Okay, we basically close now, and we're going to do some group stuff. But just before we do that, whether you have steered a conversation in a certain direction, and we're not going to deal with that now, but that is possible, okay? Whether you've steered a conversation or whether suddenly you find yourself in a conversation about spiritual things. Has it ever happened to you? You're talking to a colleague and then suddenly you're talking about spiritual stuff. You're like, how did we get here? No? But then you realize, okay, this is an amazing opportunity. You start sweating and your heart is going like this. Okay, no? But when you find yourself in that place, one of the first things that you need insight in is, where is that person at in the alphabet? Okay, remember, A from atheist. Please, I don't have anything against atheists. I love atheists, and God does too. So I'm just giving you that kind of analogy of kind of the process that somebody that we take to get to God. Okay, so the first thing you want insight in is, where is the person at? Where are they coming from? Roughly, where do they find themselves? To know how can I take this further? Are you with me? Okay, it's kind of, I don't want to make a formula, or I know some of you like a 5-step plan. I'm not going to give you one today. Sorry. But, you know, that helps us to kind of put out our faith for something, because we kind of get to, okay, this is roughly where the person is at. For like this lady at the psychic fair, she was in church as a child. She grew up in church. Her parents made her go to Sunday school. Maybe there's a bit of rebellion there, maybe a bit of bitterness. But we get an idea for where they're at, okay? But that's the first thing you want to do, is kind of get a rough idea. Because then you can see, okay, where they're at, then you try to see, what is God doing, and how can I partner with God with what He's already doing? Are you with me? Okay, so the first thing is, you want to find out roughly where are they on the alphabet. And some questions... You know, unless the Lord gives you a dream or a vision, which is not impossible, but sometimes it doesn't happen, then you can just ask a question like I asked that lady. You know, you could ask, are you a spiritual person? How do you experience your spirituality? People love to talk about stuff like that these days. Everybody is spiritual, okay? And it's very interesting what comes out there. But the amazing thing is that it's a non-threatening question to ask, but, you know, do you consider yourself, are you like a spiritual person? And sometimes I will say no. And then you can ask, you can talk about stuff like that, okay? Another question you can ask is, what is your background, as I asked this lady, what is your background in terms of religion? What did religion feature in your upbringing? Didn't it kind of get a rough idea of where they're coming from? And if it did feature, like for this lady, what changed? I asked her at one stage, what changed? And then it's kind of gives you an idea of whether they got hurt in church, whether they got offended with God. You know, you kind of get a feel for where they're at. this is very difficult stuff. I know you guys are like, I have to remember. This is very natural stuff, okay? And or you can ask something about if you want to really go wacko or wide, you can go, do you believe in another dimension beyond what we can see? But yeah, you know what I'm saying. We want to get an idea for where they're at in terms of spiritual things, in terms of religion. If we call it religion because that's a word people know about. Okay, we just want to get an idea of where they're standing, okay? So that's kind of the first thing you're wanting to establish is where they're at, okay? That's easy enough. I mean, everybody, you cool with that? Okay. And then, we're not going to practice that now, but we're going to practice another aspect. And that's an incredibly powerful way of preaching the gospel without really preaching the gospel. And I know you'll love this one. Okay, so and it's very cool. It's a lot of fun and you can do it almost anywhere. Okay? Are you ready? Alright, so this is how you preach the gospel without talking to somebody directly. So for instance, this has happened to me quite a few times. It can be deliberate or it can be accidental. For me it's happened often accidentally. So I'm sitting on a plane. Did I tell you about the guy that I sat next to? No, I did tell you. I won't tell it again. Anyway, so sitting on the plane next to a guy, and I start sharing my testimony. We start talking about things, and we start talking about spiritual things. And then at some point in the conversation, I realize I'm not really getting through to this person. But I know the Lord's planting seeds. But I notice that there are other people that are sitting like this, you know, or like putting the book like this so that they can, yeah, you know, and that's brilliant. Then I speak a little louder for their sake, and I just preach the whole gospel, whether this person I'm sitting next to wants to know or not. Now, obviously, you respect the person, but it's often, so that can happen accidentally, or if you and your friend are sitting on the tube or on the bus, great thing to do is whether they know your whole history or the whole testimony or not, they can ask you something. So tell me about this thing that happened in your life. I heard that you got right with God or something. How did you call that? What happened? And then you tell them everything. Whether they know you since you were born or not, whether they know all the answers, it's very boring for them. But you tell them the whole story. You get where I'm at. But this is deliberately, obviously. And then they ask you, but what does it mean? What does it mean you felt a conviction? And what does it mean? You know, so they can, your friend can use very specific questions that other people will be thinking. What do you mean by, you know, I felt convicted? What does that mean? Or what happened in that play? What happened when you were baptized? I mean, why did you do that? It's like just taking a swim. Why do you do that, you know? Or how did you, what is that thing that you told me about the Holy Spirit? Is it true that you can have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? And then this person can, you know, then you can answer that question. And you tell you what, it's amazing how effectively you can minister to people. Okay, I know some people will say it's rude because you're forcing something upon somebody they want to know, but they don't have to listen. Okay, have you ever listened to somebody else's conversation on the tube? Okay, so in any case, that's one way, and you can plan it or it can just happen. But I want to encourage you. It's really a lot of fun. I was attending a friend of mine's bachelor party. What do they call it here? Stag do. And we were waiting for the rest of the guys to arrive. And I didn't know that these guys were Christians. But then they started doing this. It was very funny. So we sat in a public place on the front steps of a hotel. A lot of people coming by. A lot of people standing around. And then the guy said, so tell me about this. And the other guy went on and on and on and told him. And they were like talking. But I was like, what? You know. In any case, so that was really fun. So what we're going to do now is, okay, before we do that, just when something like that happens, sometimes I've had people even ask me questions afterwards. What is it you guys were talking about? Or what church are you in? And it's amazing. It's really amazing how then, even then, there are opportunities to actually minister to somebody personally. Okay. So now we're gonna divide up into groups, and David's going to help me with that. But I'm going to basically ask you to cover three things in the groups, basically, if you have time. Firstly is that, how did you come to faith? Okay? So we're going to practice this thing of asking a question that we roughly know the answer for, but for you to kind of elaborate, and then there will be one or two people in the groups taking lead and asking, but how did that happen, or explain that to me, to kind of just elaborate. You're not going to go on for hours and hours, okay? So you need to kind of keep it concise. But we're going to cover, how did you come to faith, or what is your relationship with God like? You know, do you have one type of thing? We can cover all of that type of thing. And then baptism, have you experienced it? How did you experience it? And then how do you experience relationship with the Holy Spirit? Those three. Okay. I know it sounds very daunting, David. And then afterwards we're going to take, we're going to minister to people. But please, each person should get a turn in the group. Okay, thanks, David.